the Christian state of life or sermons on the principal duties of Christians in general and of different states in particular, with Father Francis Hunold, translated from the original German edition of Cologne, 1740, by Father J. Allen, copyright 1886. On the good example that parents should give their children, preached on the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, the Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 25. Introduction. How could the poor children prevent their father from wasting their master's property and not being able to pay his debts? Why, then, were they to be sold as slaves and to atone so severely for the fault of another? Because the master probably thought that the children must be like their parents, and therefore would be just as extravagant with his money. And he sentences them without mercy and orders the man and his wife and children to be sold that the debt may be paid. Christian parents, what will be the sentence of the heavenly judge when you shall one day appear before him to give an account of the property he entrusted to your care, I mean the souls of your children, which he will demand as a precious treasure at your hands? Oh, woe to you if by negligence in bringing up your children you have squandered this treasure. Where will you find the means of paying your debt and making good the loss of those souls? And what will be your fate? You have no other sentence to expect but that which was passed on the servant in today's gospel. You and your children will be condemned to the eternal slavery. You, because you were the cause of your children's ruin. They, because they led bad lives on account of the bad training they got from their parents, and after the example of the latter, incurred the debt of sin. Therefore, parents, I warn you again to bring up your children well and take care of their souls, that they may go to heaven, as I have told you already several times. The means that you must use to that end are solitary instructions in good for all the actions of your children and parental correction of their faults. I have beat it so often that it may sink all the deeper into your minds, since the salvation of so many souls depends on it. We have still one point, and that the principal one, to consider, namely, the necessity of the parents living piously and giving good example to their children. This is the matter of today's instruction. The best and most solitary, necessary means to bring up children in a Christian manner and to lead them to heaven is the pious life and good example of the parents. Christ Jesus, who has taught thy apostles and many others to imitate thee, give thy grace to all parents, that they may henceforth give a good example to their children, and to the children, that they may imitate their parents. This we beg of thee through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the holy angels guardian, so that no family may hear the terrible sentence, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, etc. According to the glass of a mirror is ground or colored, so does it reflect in different ways the image of him who looks at it. If the glass is green, the image is green. If it is red, so is the image. And if it is clear and spotless, it will represent the image faithfully. Some mirrors make little things appear great, and there's apparently diminished great objects. Some make everything seem distorted, and there's beautified things that are really ugly. The best are those which truly reflect the spots and deformities on the face, that they may be removed. Again, it is a peculiar to monkeys to imitate whatever they see another doing, so that one must be very careful in the presence of such dangerous animals. Aelianus writes of a monkey that, according to a common custom, was allowed to go about the house at will. It one day saw how the mistress of the house undressed her little baby, bathed it in tepid water, and then wiped it dry again. Sometime after, when the mother was away and no one else was present, the monkey took the child out of the cradle, undressed it, and brought it into the kitchen, where there was a vessel full of boiling water on the fire. He dipped the child into the water and took it out again, as he had seen the mother do. He repeated the operation till the child was actually boiled to death, and in that state it was found by its mother. See what a great misfortune occurred, because the mother was so incautious as to allow the monkey to look on while she was bathing her child, although she committed no crime nor injustice thereby. Christian parents, what is your life, your example with regard to your children? It is a mirror that they look at daily, since they are always with you, and to it they conform their lives and actions. Yet, there is this great difference. The mirror does not work any real change in the person who looks at it. The distortion, the red or green color, exists only in the glass. He who looks at it remains as he was. And again, if the mirror is without fault, it reflects truly the faults or perfections of a person. The contrary is the case with the lives of parents. As a general rule, children who take notice of them act well or ill according to the example given them by the ordinary actions of their father and mother. They become what they see. May with truth be affirmed of them, as the Holy Fathers say of the angels and saints in heaven. The seraphim see in God pure love, and therefore they too become burning with love. The cherubim see clearest of all the knowledge and wisdom of God, and therefore they are all light and knowledge. Of all men who will have the happiness of enjoying God in heaven, St. John the Evangelist says plainly enough, "Truly, beloved, we are now the sons of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when we shall appear, we shall be like to him, because we shall see him as he is." In the same way, all generally be what they see in their parents. If they see in them vanity, pride, avarice, impurity, vindictiveness, laziness, and sloth in the service of God, they shall become what they see. If they see in them Christian humility, modesty, meekness, chastity, the fear and love of God, zeal and piety, and a love of all virtue, they shall become what they see. They will have the same inclinations and desires as they see reflected in those mirrors. The Holy Bishop Silvianus has reason to say, speaking of children, before they get possession of their parents' property, they have their parents themselves in their habits and manners. They do not yet enjoy the wealth of their father and mother, but they have their piety or wickedness. St. Paul says, writing to the Romans, "For if the first fruit be holy, so is the lump also, and if the root be holy, so are the branches," of which Theodosius says, "As the lump must be like the first fruit, and the branches like the root, so must children be like their parents. Hence, just as bad yeast spoils the bread that is made with it, and as a rotten root reflects the branch that grows from it. So it would be an unusual thing if wicked parents had not wicked children. We read in the first book of Kings that Saul was once amongst the prophets, and all that had known him yesterday and the day before, seeing that he was with the prophets and prophesied, said to each other, "What is this that had happened to the son of Shish?" And one answered another, saying, "And who is his father?" As if they meant, "We have never heard that his father could prophesy. How then can the son have such favor with God that he is amongst the prophets?" The same Saul, when he saw the youthful David fighting a single combat against the and conquered him with a sling, could not but express his admiration at such great valor, and asked Abner, the captain of the army, "Of what family is this young man descended?" And again, "Inquire thou whose son this man is." And at last Saul himself asked David, "Young man, of what family art thou?" My dear brethren, why was Saul so anxious to know who was David's father? He had often seen him before and had had him with himself. Because, as a learned writer says, he was fully persuaded that such heroic courage did not come from nature, but from the bravery of the young man's parents. For a close resemblance is, generally speaking, to be found between the conduct of parents and that of their children. Christian parents, what are your children like, especially when they are still young and are living under your authority? They're like monkeys that imitate everything they see, like parrots that repeat whatever they hear, like little birds that sing whatever tune they are taught. Such is your daily experience with your own little daughters, who dress their dolls and carry them about and put them to sleep in the cradle, with your own little sons who ride on a stick, etc. The former learn from their own mothers, or from the nurse, the latter from their fathers. Listen now to a far more terrible imitation than the one I told you already about the monkey. The same Eliar, a faithless and wicked man, prompted by avarice, cut the throat of a traveler with the latter while the latter was asleep in order to get possession of his money. And this crime he committed in presence of his two sons, but without any scruple or anxiety on that account, for he thought to himself, "They are too young and innocent. They do not understand what I am doing." But he was very much mistaken. A short time afterwards, the two innocent little brothers were playing together. "Come," said one to the other, "let us do what father did lately to the strange man when he rubbed the knife on his throat." "You will be the man," said the other, "and I will be father." They both agreed, thinking that there was nothing wrong. The younger child laid himself down on the bed and, in his childish way, pretended to be asleep. The other took up the very same knife that his father had used to commit the crime and stuck it with such force, although he knew not what he was doing, into his brother's neck, that the latter was killed on the spot. The mother, hearing the cries of her surviving son, as he saw his brother lying dead, came into the room, and in her frenzy, killed him too. Father, hearing of what had happened, killed his wife, and was himself caught by the authorities and executed. Christian parents, what do you think of this tragedy? You, I mean, in particular, who are not afraid nor ashamed to do and say in presence of your children things that they should never hear nor see. And those things you do and say under the empty excuse that the children are still too young and innocent to understand them. Take a sensible view of the case. If the example of their father induced those children to do a thing that could give them no pleasure, and thus to commit a murder, which is apt to terrify and shock everyone, how great must not the influence of the parents' example be then in things that are pleasing and flattering to our corrupt nature, so that they are already inclined to them of our own accord, and drawn to them violently by natural impulse. The proverb says, very truly, that the example of others and what we see them do impels us with a gentle violence to imitate them. And that is the case in evil much more than in good things. Now, if it is true that we easily imitate what we see in others, even though they are strangers to us, how much more powerful be the example of parents be with their own children? Since God has given them such great authority and influence over the minds of the latter, that there is nothing like it in the world. Father and mother, says the wise Philo, are visible deities in the eyes of their children, who generally imagine that there can be no one better or more excellent than their parents. They sometimes hear of kings and rulers, but do not think as much of their authority as they do that of their father and mother, because they do not see the former, while they have the latter constantly before their eyes. This respect and reverence, coupled with the ignorance of childhood, which makes it so difficult at first to distinguish between good and evil, makes it impossible for children to find fault with or condemn anything their parents do. They think that their father and mother cannot do wrong, and they look upon their very vices as virtues, deserving of praise, that they imagine the best thing they can do is to imitate something they have seen in their parents. St. Augustine tells us of a certain heathen who, seeing a picture representing the armors of the god Jupiter, exclaimed, "Has the great Jupiter done such things, and must I abstain from them, I who am only a miserable mortal?" So do boys and girls think in their childhood. My father, who is a learned and clever man, speaks, acts, and lives in such a manner. My mother, who is so experienced, acts thus. How can I, who am but a child, hope to do better? In a word, children are naturally so apt to imitate their parents that Christ our Lord made use of no other proof to convince the wicked Jews that they were not real children of Abraham, than to reproach them for not doing the works of Abraham. If you be the children of Abraham, he said, do the works of Abraham. And since they did the works of the devil, he called them children of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. Learn from this, Christian parents, what a powerful influence your bad or good example has to corrupt your children or to lead them on to virtue. No father, therefore, can be surprised if his sons are given to lying and cheating, to swearing and cursing, to drinking and gambling, if he himself speaks and acts so as to set them an example of these vices. No mother should be astonished if her daughters are too free in their manner, vain and frivolous, when her own conduct is not as it should be. It is to no purpose that parents often exclaim when the children do or say anything wrong, "My goodness, where did the child learn that? Not from me, surely, but by all means it is from you. You have taught it, not by express words, but by your bad example." The child has heard or seen it before from his father. How could he help learning it, since he was taught in such an impressive manner by the living example of his parents that he picked it up very quickly and retains it in his memory? You will nevertheless hear a child speak, excuse me, you will never hear a child speak French if his parents and all the servants in the house speak another language. You all know, my dear brethren, without doubt, what happened to the little boy in Liege. The innocent child had lost his way in the streets, and of course, as children do, commenced to cry. One of the citizens, who did not know the child, was moved with pity and wished to help him, so he went up to him and asked him of whom he belonged. To the devil, answered the child. What is your father's name? The devil. Your mother's? The devil's wife. Your own? The devil's child. What is the name of the house in which you live? The devil's house. The man hardly knew what to think, he was so astonished. He took the weeping child by the hand and brought him from one street to another until at last he came to where the child's parents lived. The mother was standing at the door, and as soon as she saw her little son, she cried out, "You child of the devil, where have you been so long? Come in here at once." The father, hearing the noise, came out and said to his wife, "You devilish woman, what are you shouting at now?" "Aha," thought the man, as he went away silently, "now I know what sort of a language is spoken in that house, and I am not surprised that the innocent child knew of no other." Oh, how many children there are nowadays in Catholic families who are far more apt to call upon the demon than upon their Father in heaven. How could it be otherwise? They hear nothing else at home. It is the language that their father and mother speak. Oh, woe to you, parents, if thus accustom yourselves to curse and swear. If it were no sin even on any other account, it would be a grievous and terrible one on the sole fact that you give your children and servants a very bad example, that they speak the same horrible language. How many a son knows how to drink to excess before he learns to read and write? And how could it be otherwise? He is only following his father's example. How many a daughter knows more about playing cards and cheating than about saying her beads? How many a one can sit for 2 hours before a looking glass, but not one in the church, or spend her time in frivolity with persons of the opposite sex instead of saying her morning and evening prayers, or please the devil by giving scandal through immodesty and dress rather than do the will of God by mortifying her eyes and her sensuality by Christian modesty and self-denial? How could it be otherwise? How many still innocent children know how to speak of impure and unbecoming things, even before they are capable of committing sin, although they will afterwards commit sins enough? How can it be otherwise? They have seen these things and heard them from their imprudent parents. Woe to you again, parents, who in any way, whatever, give bad example to your children. If it were better for him who gives scandal even to a stranger to have a millstone tied about his neck and to be cast in the depths of the sea, what do a father and mother deserve who give scandal to their own children and lead them into sin by their bad example? How much reason has not St. Jerome to warn a mother with regard to her little daughter? And all parents should take this warning to themselves. Your child should see nothing in you, nor in her father, which she would sin by imitating. Parents, when in presence of your children, you should tremble with fear lest you say or do anything that they could not say or do without sin. Never forget that when you do wrong at home, you not only injure your own souls and offend God, but you also bring many other souls into the same by your example. The prophet David says, "You shall fall like one of the princes." Mark this, Christian parents, when you fall into sin, you fall like one of the princes. How so? Why like a prince? Because if a tall tree falls, its branches and boughs fall with it. If I hear that a general is killed in battle, I know, without further questioning, that a number of common soldiers have also lost their lives. Like one of the princes, such is your fall also, O parents, when you sin in presence of your children, or so that they can know what you have, that you have sinned, you fall as a general and head of the household, that is to say, not alone, for you also involve in your destruction those who are subject to you. To make those latter quarrelsome, vindictive, proud, dishonest, unchaste, and impious, it is not necessary to instruct them in such things, nor to urge them thereto by threats and punishment. No, for if you are given to these vices, and your children notice that, they will soon follow your example of their own accord. An assassin once wished to kill a certain nobleman. How do you think he managed it? By powder and ball, or dagger, or sword, the means that are generally made use of to commit such a crime? Not at all. And what did he do? He made a poisonous torch and used it to light the nobleman's home one night. The latter, following him, breathed the poisonous smoke from the torch. It affected his heart, and he died soon after. I certainly do not believe that amongst Christian parents there is a father or mother so cruel as deliberately to attempt the spiritual murder of their children, and thus to drag them down to eternal death by giving them bad example. Yet they do so in reality. They carry such a poisonous torch before them, and their children, who inhale its fumes, must die a spiritual death. And what is still more to be deplored, not only does the bad example of parents hurt their own children, but its bad effects are often continued down to their children's children and to all their posterity, who are thus infected with the contagion of bad example. For as your sons and daughters are, O parents, so will their children be also, and these latter will propagate still further the evil influence of the bad example of their own parents, so that there will be an almost endless series of sins descending from one generation to another like an inheritance. And it is that of which the angry God complains by the prophet Osee, that they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant and violated my commands. Such, says the glossa, is the complaint of God against parents who lead vicious lives. But why is the sin of the parents compared to that of Adam? Probably because they are as ungrateful as Adam in sinning against God, who has bestowed countless benefits on them. Such is the reason given by St. Jerome, but there is still another. Mark the words that God spoke. They, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. Now, what covenant did God make with Adam? It consisted in this: that the consequence of Adam's disobedience in observing the divine command, in eating the forbidden fruit should descend to all his children and their posterity. That the sin of parents is likened to his in this, that as in the latter, in virtue of the covenant made by God, has descended on all Adam's posterity, so also the former, by the influence of the parents' bad example, is inherited by their children, and by their children's children, who in their turn follow the example of their father and mother. It is in this sense we must understand the terrible threat of the Lord in the book of Exodus. I am the Lord thy God, mighty, jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. How is that? Does the just and merciful God punish innocent children for the sins of their forefathers? Was it their fault if their parents led bad lives? Is not the same Lord say clearly and plainly enough by the prophet Ezekiel? What does it mean that you use among you this parable as a proverb in the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the teeth of the children are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, this parable shall not be no more. This parable shall be no more to you a proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, the same shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. And again he says by St. Paul, everyone shall bear his own burden. What then is the meaning of the words, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation? St. Jerome, writing of the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, explains these words by saying, because the children are imitators of their parents, they commit sin after the example of their parents. Besides, one of the most terrible punishments that God inflicts upon parents who lead vicious lives is that he generally permits their children and children's children to fall into the same vices. He says expressly by the wise Ecclesiasticus, the children of sinners become children of abominations. And in the Book of Wisdom, but the wicked shall be punished according to their own desires. Their hope is vain, and their labors without fruit, and their works unprofitable. Their children wicked, their offspring is cursed. From all this you may see, Christian parents, how necessary it is, if you wish to do your duty and to bring up your children in a Christian manner for their last end, that you give them a good Christian and holy example. Do you wish them to be pious and go to heaven? Then the first thing you have to do, your first thought, must be how you yourselves are to lead holy lives and to advance in the right path to heaven, so that in all your actions, to give them an example of how they ought to live. The Apostle says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. We see and experience that in many families, in which from one generation to another, holy souls are found to give an example of a good, pious, and conscientious life to their descendants. Oh, if I could persuade all parents to lead good and Christian lives, introduce their children to imitate them. What a great change there would be for the better. What a different appearance the whole Christendom would present in a very short time. The church, I have no doubt, would be provided with pious priests, the religious orders with holy members, spiritual and secular employments with worthy officials, and all households with pious souls. Nay, the whole world would become holy, and would be an earthly paradise in which God alone would be sought, loved, praised, and blessed. Such was long ago the judgment of the wisest fathers of the church assembled in the Council of Trent. After having consulted together for a long time as to the best means of arousing tepid Christians and removing the abuses and evil customs that had crept in amongst them, they finally came to the conclusion that the best means to that end was the amendment of the lives of parents and the proper training of children. Therefore, you fathers and mothers who are here present, continue, if you have hitherto been wanting therein, begin at least to do your share of the work. Remember that the salvation of so many of your descendants depends on your living piously. Hence, before every other domestic care, see that you serve God justly and faithfully, and that you encourage your children to do the same by your example. In that way, when you are no longer on earth, you will leave souls there after you who will, oh, what a consolation for you, serve God, love Him, and praise Him for you, and their service, love, and praise will be imputed to your training and example. The Lord will rejoice even now in your account, as he formerly did on account of the patriarch Abraham. He says, "Can I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? For I know that he will command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord and do judgment and justice." What? He will command his household after him? How can he command when he will no longer be on earth? Will he perhaps rise from the dead to lead his descendants on the way of the Lord? No, says the learned Berarius. The Lord God foresaw that the holy example by which Abraham instructed his children to justice would be continued amongst their descendants, who would follow the same example and keep it up in their families. That was the reason why God rejoiced and praised Abraham. Christian parents, you should do the same. If you give your children an example of virtue in this life, they will follow it, and they will follow you also into eternity, where you will all see, love, and praise your God in the everlasting joys of heaven. Amen.